All right. Well, welcome everybody to the fifth edition of Bang, the New York Knicks podcast. I am here with Brendan. We are going to be breaking down the Knicks season thus far. And obviously, we're a day removed from kind of a bitter defeat to the Miami Heat. We didn't play as well as I would have hoped, or a lot of people would have hoped, but you know, there was some good signs from some players, but overall not a great game. What do you make of the last game versus the Heat, Brendan?
You know, we always hope that everybody's gonna have bad nights. You always hope that we don't have three players having a bad night, and yesterday we had like six people having a bad night. We've gotten out to a great start. I'm not worried about it. It was unfortunate. You know, I hope that we could, like, they're second in line to win the East. So I was kind of hoping we could put up a better fight. But, you know, we have them on Friday at home. So I'm not worried about this at all. It's a long road trip. We're still on it. So I think we'll be all right.
Yeah, no, definitely. If you could have signed up in the beginning of this season to be 8-7 after 15 games, I mean, you would have signed up, no questions asked. And, you know, not just being 8-7, but just seeing so many promising signs overall is really a great thing. And coming out of the gates in the Heat game, you know, they looked pretty good. They looked like they were definitely, they were in the lead for the first 6 or 7 minutes of the game. You know, Porzingis hit that three-pointer right away, which kind of, silenced a little bit of, you know, Chris Bosh's proclamation before the game that they were just, all they needed to do was kind of keep a body on him or keep an eye on him during the game. But, you know, he was wide open a lot, and you know, he still put up some big numbers. So
yeah, so that's like a promising sign, is that when the rookie can, he fought back against Chris Bosh, which I think was very important, that he didn't let Chris Bosh's talk outside of the game get to his head beforehand. Like, some rookies would have heard them talk about him and be like, we're going to go after you. We don't think you're real. Or they didn't necessarily say that, but like, that'll go to a lot of rookies' heads. They'll get nervous. And I'm sure Melo was in there being like, yo, don't let them get to you. Just go attack them as hard as you normally do, because that's more impressive to me that he withstood the heat, literally, and was able to perform, you know, essentially, numbers-wise, better than Carmelo did.
Yeah. You know, I saw an interview this past week with Porzingis. I've consumed a bunch of his stuff. And, you know, one of the things that he was saying is that he may be skinny and he may get pushed around a lot, but he's not scared of these guys. And that really...
No, he's very physical.
Right. I mean, that comes to... You know, you see that with your own two eyes every night. You know, he's not... Definitely not as weak as people thought. But he's not... You know, he's not stronger than a lot of the guys that he's going against. But he does not back down an inch. Like, Spike Lee was on... Spike Lee said it good. He said he's not scared of the brothers at all. You know, he just seems to have no fear for a rookie. It's pretty remarkable.
He played with grown men over in Europe. So yeah. It's not like this is the first time he's going up against older dudes.
Right.
Like, those guys played physical basketball over there.
Right. Which was kind of the misnomer when everyone was saying, oh, he's such a project, you know, he's going to take 3 to 5 years. When really,
the ACB is the second best league in the world.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and that's pretty undisputed.
Yeah. Sometimes I still wonder if, you know, if Porzingis had been playing at Kentucky or something, how high would he have gone?
First overall,
probably,
I'm sure.
Probably, you know, at this point, I mean, most people are still saying, you know, most polls, probably, I'd say it's like maybe 60-40 at this point, but most people still have Towns with a little bit of the edge, but it's, you know, it's closing game by game.
But the beautiful thing with Porzingis is, like, Towns was NBA ready, and he's coming in and he's putting up these numbers right away because he was an NBA ready 4-5 combo. Whereas Porzingis was not NBA ready, quote unquote, but is looked at to be potentially something great. So I think if you knew that you were going to get either Karl Anthony Towns, who's going to be exactly what he is, essentially, you know, I'm sure he's going to improve a little bit over the years. You're going to get those numbers for a long time, or you're going to get Porzingis, who is potentially a generational talent. You got to take the generational talent number one. Like, whether or not you're in win now mode, he's already putting up the same numbers as the dude that was NBA ready.
Yeah.
As a player that should be only getting significantly better as years go on.
Yeah, no, it's pretty remarkable.
And I don't really know how much better this kid can really get. I can't fucking wait.
Yeah, it's, you know, when you sit around when during your work day and you just kind of daydream about it, you're like, wait a second. What am I?
Lose track of what I'm doing in reality.
I got to get back to work, man. This is ridiculous. But yeah.
I mean, 20 and 14 against the second best team in the East.
On a bad night.
On a bad night.
Like, he basically, kind of like Shaq back in the day. Like, Shaq used to stumble into 25 points and like 15 rebounds without even trying. You know, if this guy's putting up 20 and 14 as a 20-year-old rookie who doesn't really
frail
know
too exactly, like he's
right, doesn't even
30
know exactly
pounds lighter than he should
be. Right. Yeah. So those kind of, you know, when you really consider that kind of stuff, it makes you take a step back and you're like, man, what, you know, this is just the beginning of the canvas here. This is the very beginning of what could be something amazing.
Yeah, man, this is going to be a beautiful next, hopefully, 20 years, man. I hope he has the longevity of Dirk and Kobe and Tim Duncan and stuff. Even if it's only 15, you know, that's something else. And the names that he's being listed with, like the youngest to put up, what was it, like 24 and 17 or whatever that was, 24 and 7 right. or 30, whatever.
24, well, that all came after the Rockets game.
Yeah, yeah.
Put up 24, 14, and 7 blocks.
That's what it was, the 7
blocks.
That's
pretty rare. That's seriously
Yeah, that's
rare,
like Shaq. Like, he's the only other 20-year-old to ever do that. Like, I mean, you take that stuff with a grain of salt, but the fact that there's not another person that ended up being a bust on these lists that he's being compared with is a really great sign. Like, you have to take that with some sort of something. That, like, they're doing it, and they do end up being great. Like, the one that had the same list as Melo and Kobe and Tim Duncan, like, the cream of the crop people, just, he's in it. He's there right now. And he's 20. Like, this is the greatest thing for the Knicks since Patrick Ewing, literally.
Yeah, I remember I was very little. I was 8 years old. And I remember the Knicks, and I'm old. You were probably not even born.
I was not born.
I remember watching that lottery when they won the lottery to get Patrick Ewing, and I wasn't even sure what was happening, but my dad was super excited about it. You know, but I didn't really realize the gravity of what had happened, that, you know, something. All right, so we interrupt Brendan and I's chat about Porzingis and the Knicks, and we welcome Zachary, who has woken from his slumber to enlighten us with some information about the past week. Zachary.
Yeah, hey guys.
What do you think?
Well, you know, I felt like, I know we all talked and we weren't particularly happy last night with the Heat game, but let's forget that for a moment and think about the saintliness that is our Lord and Savior, Kristaps Porzingis.
Great white hope.
Amen.
And it's consistent. He's consistent. He keeps doing it. I mean, what is he averaging the past three games? 20 points and 15 boards, 14 boards, something like that.
The last seven in my fantasy league, he's 20 points. 2.8 blocks, 0.3 steals, which is a bummer, and 11.3 rebounds on 2 threes a game.
Man, I never got a chance. I wanted to bet all my FanDuel money on Porzingis before they stopped taking bets in New York, but I never got a chance to do it.
I see. Did you guys happen to check out the discussion someone had about the interviewing Porzingis' brother?
I enjoyed that a
lot. I saw a little write-up of that,
actually. Yeah, man, it was so... So basically, here's what the big takeaway is. Apparently, Porzingis moved to New York and he has two brothers. So they say that the Porzingis household consists of... He's there, he's got his mom there cooking for everybody, his dad is, you know, watching all the plays and analyzing stuff and giving him advice. One of his brothers is his agent, and the other one is his manager. So it's a family operation.
One of his brothers played Euroball, and he had, a stint or two in the NBA. It was Giannis Porzingis or something.
Yeah, and he plays apparently like a bodyguard kind of role.
Yeah, yeah, I saw that, where he like walks around and he's like telling people to go away. It's kind of funny, because I'm sure Porzingis would get roped up in conversations with everybody. He just seems like that kind of guy.
Oh, yeah. He's very talkative. It's hard to shut him up, to be honest.
I'm okay with that.
Giannis definitely did not play in the NBA, though, because I know for a fact that Kristaps is the first Porzingis to ever play in the NBA. Okay. That was a trivia fact that I learned the other day.
That's right. That's a fact of the week. But yeah, so I don't know. I think that family environment's got to be really good for him. Maybe that's part of the reason he's developing so well. I mean, the situation for him is perfect. He's got his whole family there. He goes to the games. He leaves, you know, and... is around the most comfortable, comforting thing. His mom's... Everybody around him wants him to succeed so much, you know? Like, that's got to be beneficial for him.
Yeah, it seems like it's an amazing support structure that definitely a lot of guys that come into the league, high draft picks, don't have that kind of super positive support structure around them. And that's how a lot of people fail, you know? Because they get caught up, especially guys that coming into New York. I mean, how many guys have come into New York and not been able to deal with not only the pressure, but just like everything that goes into being like a New York athlete? They just kind of get caught up in it, you know. And it's true. It's not going to happen here.
The other thing too is that, you know, these players come and they don't have a family structure. They don't have anybody that wants to be with them. Everyone and their mother's asking them for money, and then they can always buy a family structure. You know, I don't know if you guys know this, but Allen Iverson, when he came in the league, used to just pay for anything for anybody, you know? He paid hundreds of dollars as a tip for pizza or something just to get some friends, you know?
I love to talk about Allen Iverson on this show, dude.
I'm just bringing it up because it's a running gag at this point that I keep bringing up this.
I think this is three consecutive episodes.
Yeah, well, look, you know, it comes up. I'm not forcing it. It's just what comes into my head.
The listeners are expecting to hear about Iverson every episode.
That's right.
So we got to give it to them.
Yep. We should play the White Iverson song as like the intro for this at some episode. Maybe not permanent, but maybe for like some episode. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know if we could ever stop talking about Porzingis, but, you know, I will say this. Am I the only one? Do you guys feel a little bit differently about Jose Calderon? I feel like he's kind of the comeback kid of the season so far.
I think we'll get this kind of production out of him most of the time, which is fine. You know, that's he's putting effort in on defense. It's like noticeable. It's not good defense, but he's putting effort in, which, you know, is leadership. That's more important than it's obviously more important than not doing it. But you know, I mean he's performing decently. I wouldn't say he's performing well, but it's not bad anymore.
It's just super frustrating when they somehow match him up against people that he just has no business in the same gym again. Like, that kind of stuff will just you pull your hair out. It's hard to watch it. I mean, but some, you know, I mean, he's been an effective player. He's playing within himself and he's trying on defense, as Brendan was saying, but you know, I'm going to have a heart attack. Just if we go to the playoffs and Calderon is starting in the playoffs in game one, that's going to be a tough pill to swallow.
You know, I don't think that we'll make it that far with Calderon. Let me redo that. I think we'll see a change in starting point guard by the time the playoffs roll around. Like, in a beautiful world, Jaren Grant develops into understanding, like, comfortable jump shots so that the defenses don't just let him stand in the middle of the floor and he misses everything he takes. Like, that's like, once that hits, I don't see much of a reason why he shouldn't be in the starting lineup.
But do we know that's gonna happen?
No, obviously, we definitely don't. I personally think that it will. Just because, I'll give him half a season of a rookie season to figure that out. Most kids take 2 years. So we're not
I
trying to win a
think
championship
I
this
think
year
Jaren
anyway,
Grant
so.
needs like Jaren Grant needs 2 months hanging out with the Porzingis brothers to get his jump shot back
That's
up to
true. Well,
speed.
maybe, Horace and Harvey Grant will come live with him and cook meals for him and take care of him. How about that?
Yeah, no, Harvey Grant had a pretty decent jump shot. Horace was
Nah, he was horrible. But
he was not great,
no,
yeah.
not at shooting. But he's a championship caliber guy, so you got to give him that. Have you guys heard? I know that this is a little upsetting, and I'm a little upset by it. But have you heard Bill Simmons' little trade concept with Porzingis and the Celtics and
Ooh, yeah, I wanted to discuss some of that stuff about the Porzingis trade stuff. But yeah, Zach, we'll continue with that. What
Please
was
elaborate,
exactly
yeah,
his
because I
proposal?
didn't read
Okay,
that.
my understanding is the deal would be Boogie Cousins comes to the Knicks, the Celtics get Porzingis, and I think that the Kings get a bunch of picks and a bunch of crap.
No.
Hell no.
Not
Hell
a
no.
chance.
Right. I mean, no way.
No
No
way.
way.
He'd have to put on another 50, 60 pounds to be Jerome James for us to do that.
It just like Porzingis just is too much of something special. Like I can't. He's ours.
He's our fucking player.
Boogie is not ours, even if he plays here.
No. No, all right, just to break it down, okay? Why is Porzingis so amazing? I mean, yeah, we love Porzingis, blah blah blah. But the point is that he's not a 3 and D. I'm sorry, he's not a stretch four. He's a stretch five. There really hasn't been anybody in NBA history who can stretch that way but also be an inside defensive presence. He got 7 blocks the other night in
That
like
was
his sixth
insane.
or seventh. Yeah, that was like his 12th game in his career, and he got 7 blocks. The point is that Dirk Nowitzki is a great stretch player. He can't really guard inside. I mean, obviously Porzingis is not an amazing inside defender yet because he's still young, but that's where he's headed, and he's already amazing for his age and size. So nobody's like that, and we don't know how amazingly that's going to affect the league. Look at Kyle Korver and how well he makes. He doesn't score that many points, but he's a threat to score all the time, so he pulls those defenders way the hell out there. Imagine running a legit three. I'll put it this way. Imagine if you could have a small ball lineup where you actually have a legitimate inside defensive presence.
Oh yeah.
I've
Well,
never
that's
seen
like
that
Draymond
before.
Green and Golden
But Draymond
State.
Green can't really guard big men. I mean,
But
he
he
can
does, and
he's
he does a decent
he
job of it.
does. He does a decent. But imagine if he was 7 foot 3.
It'd be unstoppable.
That's what I mean. That's why you can't trade Porzingis, because that's where we're headed, I think.
The small ball lineup where when Porzingis is eventually can play seriously some center. If that happens when Melo is still Melo and able to take power forwards and be super effective at that spot, I really want to see a lineup headlined by 5 and 4 Porzingis and Melo. I think it can do some serious damage at some point. I'm hoping.
Can I ask you guys, do you think that Carmelo Anthony's a little depressed at this point? No,
He,
because when
I saw him walk
when I
off the
hear the
court the
comments he
other
comes out
night.
with, the stuff he says when he comes out with his comments, just good. They're a little sad, you know? It's like he really seems like when he talks about Porzingis, it does, I don't buy it. I just don't buy that he's excited or happy. It doesn't sound like an excited or happy comment. It kind of sounds weird, like, yeah, Porzingis, I hope to hand the reins off to him one day, and blah blah. It sounds like something you don't
Well,
really mean.
right, but also he was hoping, he said that he hopes that he wins a couple of championships and before he kind of passes the reins
Yeah.
of the Knicks
I mean,
off
he
to him.
kind of already
And I kind
had.
of think, right, well, he kind of already has, yeah, but I also think that Carmelo has got to realize just, I've been a fan of how he's been trying to play for the most part recently. His shot selection is not tremendous, I don't think, but he's got to understand at this point if he's going to be on the Knicks and he wants to win a championship with the Knicks, this is his best hope. I mean, this is his life. I know he's very concerned with his legacy, and like, where is he going to go at this point? Is he going to force a trade to some team?
Have you
He's
guys
on
heard
the
De
Knicks, right?
Detroit?
He
Have you
wants to
guys
be
heard
on the
Detroit?
Knicks.
I mean, talk about the whole Allen Iverson, you know, being in this little tiny, you know, Allen Iverson being in Carmelo's brain. I mean, imagine that fate if he gets sent to Detroit.
What is this Detroit?
That would kind of be like where he wanted to wind up from the very beginning. He would have won championships if they hadn't
drafted
Darko Milicic. If they took Carmelo,
what is the Detroit?
He would have at least one ring, about. Right?
Oh, good. That's where Iverson went. Iverson ultimately ended up there. That's what I mean. But yeah, there's some Detroit trade that they're discussing potentially. I mean, it's rumors, so obviously it doesn't mean a whole lot.
Right, and he has to agree to it. Right.
There's not many pieces on that team that I would want for Carmelo, though. I mean,
some good stuff,
but like, right, what, Drummond, yeah, but we're not, they're Kessler. Not going to take Melo and get rid of Drummond. Like, that's the whole point of getting Melo.
It would be, let's see, you could get Stanley Johnson. Maybe
he's actually, okay.
We could get Reggie Jackson if we wanted him. I don't know if we want him. I don't know that he's a good, I think he's not a very good deal.
Phil liked him, but that contract's too much money.
Yeah, I don't think it's really worth it. But they got other guys. I mean, you know, Brandon Jennings. I don't know.
I don't want him post Achilles injury, man. Okay. No thanks.
What I'm saying is, they got Stanley Johnson. They have they've got some people. Let me think about it. I can't think of anyone off the top of my head.
I mean, I guess Stanley Johnson would be the only one that I would want out of the people that mentioned. But like, that's not even close. I mean, I know
Stanley
picks
Johnson,
would be
Reggie Jackson, and some picks maybe. Is that a good deal for Carmelo?
I mean, they're young. They're both really young.
Other people involved. Yeah, but we need to make the playoffs this year. You know, like we don't have a draft pick.
That's true.
The thing is, though, with Carmelo, best case scenario, the team looks like pretty damn good. I mean, the forget about yesterday. Overall, it seems like a real team. A lot of people were talking about that Instagram photo, which I think is kind of stupid, but it just showed the whole team like looking like they liked each other, and that seems kind of the general consensus that they liked each other. They seem to play well. You know, they seem to, not that they are the San Antonio Spurs, but they seem to look like they have some type of rhythm to their playing, and they kind of like playing together. So, like, looking at this year, and looking at the Eastern Conference, we have this team. We have Carmelo. We have this burgeoning Porzingis. Are we this year? I mean, I think we could win it. I think we could win a round.
By the way, I would like to add, I think that if you took that phrase any other time, it would sound ridiculous. A burgeoning Porzingis.
That was a great word.
A year ago? That is that's a wonderful. I don't think we'll ever forget this. You know, this is the burgeoning Porzingis edition of the
That's the title. There you go. Can you send me the spelling?
Stop
on that
naming
one?
Them. We got to start naming them.
but anyway, honestly, my thought was that look, these guys can't control themselves around the raw animal magnetism of Porzingis, and that's why they were so happy.
God, the vocabulary is wonderful tonight. Mine's so
you'll
subpar.
Learn about the
Holy
Knicks,
shit.
And you'll learn some new words, people.
No, I think Melo and Porzingis have played really well together. And, you know, I think that Melo was expecting a year at least to have it be his show. And he's obviously not performing the way that he wants to.
No.
Which is probably why he's frustrated. Like, I mean, he's coming.
He's uncomfortable with it. You got to admit. I mean, I think you can't deny that it seems like Carmelo is a little bit unhappy with the fact that it's Porzingis taken over.
I wouldn't say
it's
unhappy.
Kind of the Jeremy Lin thing a little
bit. I wouldn't say unhappy, uncomfortable, though.
Can we establish this? Would you agree that Carmelo's actions or attitude with the Jeremy Lin thing was not 100% sportsmanship? It was not 100%.
It was awful sportsmanship.
Yeah, he's pissed at some other guys winning on his team a little bit, okay? Like, it's kind of mean and it's accusatory to say, oh, that's what he's thinking. I know. I mean, I don't know for a fact what he's thinking. That's the truth.
I mean, it looked like it, though.
Yeah, and I don't think it's unfair to make that claim. And so, I mean, look, we're speculating, but that's what we do. That's why we get paid so much money to do this,
man.
You know?
I'm still not getting checks.
Good point. But I feel like Carmelo at this point has got to kind of be, like, even LeBron James is in, at this point in his career, he's an all hands on deck kind of guy. I need Kevin Love. I need Kyrie. I need as many people as I can get to contribute. He's got a guy that's 7'3" that does all these things. I mean, there might be something deep down, but he's got to really sit down at the end of the day, as Carmelo loves to say. He loves to say at the end of the day, but he's got to look at the end of the day and say, this is exactly what I need at this point in my career. I need help. Yeah.
He does need to acknowledge
that. I have no doubt, and I have no doubt that he does acknowledge that. It's just, you know, people are complicated, you know? Like, I don't think that Carmelo is not a mature person. I think that he totally is aware of it, of how good this is for him and what the smart thing to do is. And frankly, he's doing the smart thing and saying the right things in response to it. I mean, I'm not saying that, but your body, your internal thoughts affect reality in a sense. So if you're, and especially in activities where you're not really focused and concentrating, Carmelo giving a speech or something like that is one thing, but him actually playing basketball with this guy, no, they are playing well, but I can see how there could be like a negative psychological effect on him in this whole situation and how that could hurt Porzingis' development, which obviously is the most important thing, you know, for
in the world,
in the world right now, right? Exactly.
In the world,
fuck the Syrian refugee crisis. It's Porzingis' development,
right before the refugees.
You know, Melo's played his entire career being the star of his team, high school, college, in Denver, and when he got to New York, he was the star. Like he overshadowed Amari when he got here, and then Jeremy Lin happened, and he was not the highlight of it. He was not the talk of the town anymore for like 2 months. And now I don't necessarily think Porzingis fever is going to die anytime in the near future, but it
necessarily.
Okay, here's the thing too, right? I mean,
the amount of discussion
who are in Carmelo's peer group. Is Carmelo's peer group is like LeBron James
and Chris Paul, you know, and Chris Bosh and
but
those
the point
guys.
The point is that Carmelo Anthony is shit compared to these guys in terms of reputation right now. Like he's perceived as more of a bust than any of these guys. He's perceived as more of a ball hog, not someone that can win than any of these guys, and he knows that. And so that's why someone like LeBron James doesn't give a shit anymore, because as much as there are plenty of LeBron James haters, and there always will be, he's got those championships. He knows the moments he's had that are great, you know, and he can hang his hat on that and it doesn't affect him. Carmelo doesn't have that. He doesn't want his time to go away before he loses his chance. So I think that there's a little bit of a time pressure on him too.
He wants to win the ring. He wants it to be his team to win the ring in New York. He doesn't want it to be Porzingis' team that wins in New York. And, you know, I think as long as Melo is playing at an elite level, which he still currently is, it is his team in a sense. Like, I would consider this a win for, I would still consider Carmelo winning us a ring if we won it next year, if he's still playing at this level. Like, obviously, Porzingis is, he's going to be, I mean, he's turning into the number one option right now. I mean, Melo is passing to him more often than not.
Well, okay, I think that there's this dimension to it as well, which is, I think, you know, from Carmelo's standpoint, why is Jeremy Lin so much considered better than he is, or more popular, and why is Porzingis getting a lot more attention than he is? And there's an element of race to it, you know? Like, I think that's true. Like, Porzingis, you know, is this great white hope kind of character, and Lin is this first Asian player to really, you know, or Asian English-speaking sort of Americanized player to do what he's doing. And so Carmelo is just thinking, well, what the fuck? You know, I'm obviously better than Porzingis and Jeremy Lin. They're getting more attention than I am. That's kind of racially biased, and frankly, he's right. I mean, it is. I mean, granted, I don't think that, like, it's in part an interesting situation because, you know, Obama is the first black president. So in some sense, he'll probably always be remembered for that, because it's a combo breaker, you know. Whereas in the same way that Jeremy Lin is a combo breaker, he's like an Asian guy who's short. I'm not short, but I mean, he's a point guard who, you know, I think people tend to identify more with point guards. Plus, he went to Harvard, and you know, and so he's the first person to do a certain thing. And Porzingis looks different. He's, you know what I mean, and he's kind of playing unlike
no,
what
no.
we're used to.
I think you make a lot of good points. But I think the biggest thing is that Carmelo hasn't really, like, if LeBron James came in 2010 to the Knicks, like, he would have been bigger than Porzingis or Jeremy Lin. Like, the Garden would have been absolutely popping with hysteria for, you know, just to see LeBron James do what he's, you know, what LeBron James does. But the problem with Carmelo is, for the most part, besides the 54-win season, there hasn't been much success. Like the most successful time was the 54 season, and then like the 12 games of Jeremy Lin, you know, when Carmelo was out for probably half of those games. So I mean, I think that's his biggest thing, is that he just, you know, he's been stuck in this Knicks kind of conundrum of losing. And yeah, there's definitely, I agree with you though, there is, I could see from Carmelo's view looking at it through a certain prism. That does make a lot of sense.
Yeah. The other thing too is that to your point, you can look at the playoffs last year with the Cavs. I mean, Matthew Dellavedova never really outshined LeBron James in anybody's book. You know,
nobody stood out because of his play and his skin color.
But if it was LeBron James with Jeremy Lin or LeBron James with Porzingis, you'd think it would still be the LeBron James show. And you know, whereas with Carmelo, it's kind of like, all right, this Carmelo thing was okay. I mean, we didn't win any much, but let's get to this guy. Maybe he'll be the guy, you know?
Well, I mean, I think that has a lot to do with our fan base, too, is that we're ready to jump. Like, we are on the Melo bandwagon, and we all were riding up to the season. Like, I mean, of course, we were excited for Porzingis, but we didn't think it was going to turn into this. And so we were all hopped up on Melo coming back from surgery and being ready to run this team in a more, you know, not pass-happy situation, but he was going to be more of a distributor than he had been in the past.
Yeah.
And we were all in that. And then, you know, Porzingis, like, it's a surprise, and it's a pleasant surprise, and it's, you know,
a surprise to everyone except for Bang the Knicks podcast.
Yeah, we knew all
by the way, we should note,
exactly.
We've been pushing it from the beginning. In fact, I don't think it would be out of bounds to say that we, you know, deserve some credit.
Oh, I'm also really partially salty responsible right now. I'm watching the Hawks Celtics game on TV. It's on national TV, and they cut out the Eastern Conference standings at Boston, which is 9, and they've played 2 less games than us, and we have 1 more win, and we're 10th, and we're not even on the screen.
Ooh, that's nonsense.
I'm salty.
No, you're right about that. That's bullshit.
Fuck you, TNT.
I couldn't do the math. Do they have a better winning percentage?
By like 0.01.
They should just give it to us. Come on, the Knicks. The Celtics made it last year.
Yeah, I'm angry about that right now. TNT just made me mad.
They're getting the Nets' number one pick. I mean, come on.
They don't have to do
anything.
They
don't need to make the playoffs. They shouldn't get to make the playoffs.
Honestly, they may as well not, because then they get their own lottery pick, and they get the Celtics' lottery pick. It would be better for their team not to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm sick of the Celtics at this point. I don't know what their plan is. They just want to build up this. It's as if they don't realize that you have a limited number of minutes to give to players. They have so many fucking players that are all above average, and they don't have anybody that's good.
I would put Isaiah
I just
Thomas
hate the Celtics
good.
Because, right, well, I was just about to say, I hate the Celtics because Isaiah Thomas plays for the Celtics, and I know it's not the same guy, but I just
having
hate
to
Isaiah
say that
Thomas.
Name, it's like.
Right. It just makes me sick to my stomach.
You know,
I feel like Dolan is going to hire him, bring him back.
He's already in the fucking office at the Liberty. Again, we talk about the Liberty.
Oh,
we even talked about the Liberty.
I don't know why they let him in the same building. I don't know why we let him in the building.
Because Jim Dolan's an idiot.
That's true. But you
know
what?
I think Jim Dolan, like, is just, he's apparently very charismatic, according to Frank Isola. And
don't listen
James Dolan is
to anything Frank Isola
he's
says.
Such a... Well, that's true. I'm not a fan of Frank Isola, but every once in a while he has some kind of insight, and I guess he knows Jim Nolan to a certain degree, and he just says that James Nolan is such a kind of like a nerd, and the fact that an athlete would kind of like Isaiah Thomas would, you know, kind of really lay his charisma onto him and make him feel like an important person. He just, you know, he was like,
I see what you're saying. So you're saying that basically James Dolan is this nerdy but charismatic guy, you know. He's also kind of the son of a rich guy, right? So,
well, no, James Dolan's just a nerdy guy, but Isaiah
yeah.
is a charismatic.
Oh, yeah,
Isaiah
yeah,
is the
yeah,
type
yeah.
of guy that will make someone like James Dolan feel like, you know, the most important
yeah.
person in the room just because he's a schmoozer, you know.
Yeah,
that's the kind of guy he is.
That smile
right.
really lights up the room,
right.
you know.
Oh, he's going to have that sly Isaiah smile, and then he's going to have, like,
you
Dolan.
Really hate it.
Dolan convinced to trade Porzingis for Boogie Cousins.
Oh my God, I would die.
I don't hold it against Isaiah Thomas, you know. Like, I don't hate the player, hate the game, you know. Like,
the player was amazing. He was
one
of the
best. I mean, he was an asshole.
What I mean to say is it I don't know, man. Look,
he was a,
know what the
he,
fuck
was
he was
a good
doing.
Player, and but he was a dick at the same time, in the right way, for him.
Yeah, I don't know. All I'm saying is, in a sense, he convinced the guy to let him run the team. He probably thought he'd be good at it. Maybe it wasn't really his fault that he was so bad. I mean, he made a few mistakes, but...
I mean, it's the fact that it lasted for, like, 10 years, though.
That's the problem. I don't know why they didn't fire
because
him.
Because Jim Dolan's an idiot.
It's like, you know, the Lions had that guy... what the fuck was his name? They had this guy who was the manager of the team for years, and they fired him finally, and he goes... I'm sorry. No. The Lions had their owner for or the GM for years, and he was god awful. Matt Millen was his name, and when they fired him, he goes, you know what? I would have fired me too. I feel like it's one of those situations with Isaiah.
He still thinks he did a good job though. If you listen to interviews with him, he still defends his record. The Eddie Curry trade.
He drafted pretty well. Like, decently.
No, he did. That's his one thing that he did. But he can never be forgiven for the Steve Francis trade when he compared the Marbury Francis pairing to Monroe and Frazier.
Oh my god. I mean, the whole Eddie Curry era of basketball. That was like what I grew up on, was like Eddie Curry basketball. It's like one of the most
and you're still a Knicks fan. That says something.
I would go to games then. Like, I was at games back then. And then, like, we had Jamal Crawford and David Lee. I was still going to games. And so those were fun.
Have you guys ever seen Stephon Marbury get interviewed while he was stoned?
No.
Because I swear to God, if you watch him get interviewed, he's high a lot. And he's not, like, a normal laid-back kind of, like, I think Boogie Cousins is high a lot when he gets interviewed. And he's just kind of, like, doesn't want to answer questions, kind of like smiles and smirks to himself for no reason sometimes, you know, and like this seems a little bit belligerent, you know, like a little bit like you can't really get through to him. But, you know, Marbury was really silly when he was in interviews. Like, he didn't make any sense, and he'd trail off, and like he just couldn't make a coherent sentence. And you should really watch it. We should get some clips for the podcast if we can as an extra.
There was a, you know, there was an Aflalo.
The classic
interview.
Marbury. Oh, yeah, continue.
There was an Aflalo interview that made me think that he was high. He was just laughing at everything that Rebecca Harlow said. It was comical. Continue, Brian.
I was just going to reference the classic Stephon Marbury interview from his time period is when the Knicks when they made the Zach Randolph trade, and Stephon was like doing something in Coney Island, some kind of promo appearance, and he found out that trade had happened, and he just like went off about how the whole NBA was scared of him and Zach Randolph like running roughshod over the league. It's pretty hilarious. Just if you Google "they scared now Marbury," it's the first thing.
That's awesome.
I remember that now. Yeah, that was great. I remember that.
Yeah, they scared now. And yeah, I think they won like 20 games that year. So
he made no sense. That was Iverson's, or what am I comparing Marbury and Iverson? they both had a kind of a cool streetwise, you know, persona in the league. But yeah, Marbury just didn't make a lot of sense when he talked. I mean, just wasn't coherent. That was the problem. I didn't understand what he was trying to say. I mean, I think he'd admit to it too. I don't think that he would disagree with that. I think when most people get high, it's hard to like put your arguments together. I'm sure there was the thing is that what's funny about it is you can hear him talk, and like, I don't doubt that he has something going on up there. Like, he actually has a point. He's just not able to articulate it. And that's what's funny about it.
I have his shoes.
Yeah, no, I've been there.
Wait, Brian, education administrator.
I've been there a long time
ago. Back in the 60s.
Oh, yeah. I'm old enough. I'm super old.
No wonder that must be where that soft baritone voice comes from.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, baby. We're gonna break it down, people.
That's why we have you do the intro to Bang the Next podcast.
Oh yeah, that just lulls the people into the podcast.
They're like, wait, I think it's one of those like massage therapy music or songs or something. But then it turns out it's a Knicks podcast.
You got to give the people what they think they want, or
that's true. It's actually hypnosis. Podcast, I don't know if you guys know this, but it actually is a hypnosis technique that James Dolan is using to get you to forget about the Isaiah Thomas era. So although we just talked about the Isaiah Thomas era, Brian's going to lull with a sweet melody, lull you back into forgetting that that ever happened, and bring you back into the world of burgeoning Porzingis.
Speaking of Porzingis, the last time we had a podcast, I think we were talking about Porzingis versus Towns, and at that point, I think Towns was number one, and Brendan and I kind of touched on this. Zach, your opinion when we're talking about this in April, Rookie of the Year, Porzingis versus Towns, how close will it be?
I don't know. I think that people will think it's a clear answer, but I think that they'll be wrong, and I think it'll be clearly Porzingis. No, but really, I think people are going to say Towns, and then it's obvious because he's a more complete player or something. You know, and I mean, how old is Towns? Towns, what, 21? 22?
No, he's 20.
I think he's 20. He's 20.
20?
He's okay. 20. But the stats are trending, you know, they're trending towards each other, right? I mean, they're getting very close with the, especially this last game. If you look at the stats, they're very close at this point. And I the Knicks are, you know, doing...
Winning.
What is the Wolves record? They're not...
Not that good.
I don't know.
They're under 500, but...
There's some other fans out in multiple sources of the Wolves. We could talk to them about it, but... Yeah, I don't think that... Honestly, Wiggins has been kind of hot and cold this year. He's had some great games. He's had some not-so-great games. I don't know. I don't know where... I guess Wiggins is just... I kind of think that this is going to be a little bit of an off year for Wiggins. I think he'll play very well.
Sophomore slump.
I don't think he's going to be... Yeah, sophomore slump, exactly. I think, but I think Towns will get a lot of touches and be very good. But honestly, you know, that prediction, I think one of the two is probably going to get injured. And or at least for a little while, you know.
Ooh, don't even say that. That made my heart heavy.
I think Towns is going to get injured.
Ooh, yeah, that's right, fine. Whatever. I don't care.
The Wolves. Yeah, no, the Wolves are 6-8. Just so you know.
Yeah, you can't be Rookie of the Year from a under 500 team. Come on,
because that's program, never buddy. Happened before.
No. Right, that does not happen. And Okafor. Forget about it.
Dude, he looks so angry that he's in Philly.
I know.
And yeah, I don't blame him, man. I would not want to have gone there. He looked pissed on draft night that he got drafted there.
You know, I'd be happy I was in Philly, to be honest with you. Getting all those touches, and I think that's not a bad thing.
There's the...
Yeah, and that video of him, like, tossing his Sixers jersey down.
He was folding it. He was folding
right,
it
that,
on the
right,
table.
Right, that was... If you see the full video, I was going to say, it's not nearly as bad as when you cut it off.
That was like such a ridiculous...
It looks like he's tossing it on the ground, but he was just, like, placing it on a table at the end of the interview.
That was such a ridiculous, like... He hates this. He's so angry. And, like, they just, like, cropped out the video. Like, it wasn't even a real attempt. There was
That's
a real
what the
attempt.
All
but
about
it wasn't,
right
yeah.
there.
I don't know what the narrative really is there. I mean, are they trying to say that, like, this guy's such a winner that he can't handle being on the Sixers? Or are they just trying, kind of just mad at the Sixers for deliberately sucking? I don't know what the point is, but, yeah, I think it's just searching for controversy. I think he's happy to be there.
Yeah, I mean.
He's getting paid.
You know, He's getting paid.
He's getting good stats and touches and shit, you know? Is he good for his career? Frankly, no. I don't think that those types of teams are good for your career. I think that, you know, who's really taken off and hasn't been talked about enough this year is Kawhi Leonard. I mean, talk about a great situation.
God, yeah, he's been amazing.
He's been very good this year. He's the reason that team is playing so well. But, yeah, I don't think that it's good for guys like him to be on a bad team to start their career with for the... You know, it brings us all full circle to our Carmelo discussion. I mean, that's kind of what happened with him, isn't it?
He's like a very different player from what Jahlil Okafor is supposed to do. Melo came in and made an impact day one.
Yeah, no, Melo was his first year. I remember the Rookie of the Year race between Carmelo and LeBron back when they were both rookies. The narrative back then was, you know, LeBron can put up numbers, but Carmelo, who was coming off his Syracuse national championship and was playing with a better Denver team than LeBron had in Cleveland, the narrative was kind of like Carmelo knows how to win and LeBron doesn't. You know, that was just kind of the media narrative. We know that's bullshit at this point because...
Yeah.
Well, I mean, LeBron didn't win until he teamed up with the two other guys. Like,
right, but he dragged, you know, basically the worst team true. In finals history.
I mean, Melo made the playoffs.
Yeah, but by that logic, the fact that Carmelo now has Porzingis means that he's a failure because he hasn't gone undefeated.
Well, he's got to win the championship now with Porzingis.
Right. Well, more like Porzingis has to win the championship. Right.
Carrying Melo.
I got a question for you guys. This is a serious question this year, and it's really about Melo. If the Knicks win the title this year, and it turns out that Porzingis scored all the points and that no one else on the team scored, do you think that we would consider it as some points towards Carmelo's legacy?
Would that fact be listed in the Carmelo Anthony biography?
I think it would have to be an asterisk. Carmelo wins championship at 0 points in the entire rest of the season.
I don't think it really helps him out a lot if that's how it goes. No, that's just my
decent. I don't think so either. I mean,
no, his burgeoning tech career would not take off if that were the case.
To actually play on this narrative, though, like if Melo is performing, if he's coming off the bench in 2 years and we win a ring, it's not Melo's ring.
Yeah. Well, look, like I said, if he scores a couple points, I think he deserves a ring. Okay?
I mean, he's going to get the ring regardless.
If we go out there,
he's on the team.
I know. Well, it's not about does he get it, but does he deserve it? Did he earn it? Can he put his hat on that? But if it's like, you know, we're in the finals, it's Knicks, you know, 110 to, you know, the Lakers 100 and you know, and Porzingis scores all 110 points, I don't know if we're going to be shaking Carmelo's hand. I mean, I think that his contract was overrated. We didn't need him. We could have just threw a bunch of bums out there with Porzingis and made the same amount of points.
I don't know.
I agree. What more can we say?
I kind of like that we signed him. Like, I just think that it was the right direction to go. Like, we obviously... someone had to know that we were going to get a good draft pick this year because, I don't know. It just all feels like that it was sort of planned to get Porzingis.
I had another thought, too.
like you said.
So considering how good Porzingis is, do you... And, you know, obviously if we're in the kind of scenario I'm talking about where Porzingis is putting up so many points that the other, you know, he's literally scoring all the points and his entire stat line is like a whole team stat line. Do you think that we could start bringing back old Knicks from the past, like Patrick Ewing and John Starks, even in their older age, because it won't really matter, you know, since we already have Porzingis, it won't really
just
matter what their contribution is.
That would be totally amazing.
I don't know.
That'd
I think
be
that
totally
could
amazing.
Be, I don't think that's outside the realm of possibility. I mean, I wouldn't say it's above 500 chance of happening this season, but maybe like next season.
When I was a kid, my dad used to wake me up, and my dad used to wake me up in the morning and like tell me stories that like Mickey Mantle, they brought back Mickey Mantle to like pinch hit for the Yankees, and he had a home run, and it would be like so exciting, and then I would find out later in the day that that was all bullshit. So that story, you know, that situation makes me think of that. That would be amazing if they could bring back Starks to get a ring.
So your dad used to make that shit up? Why did he do that?
I don't know. He used to come into my room just as a joke and be like, yeah, you know, they were down by 3 in the bottom of the 9th, and Mickey Mantle came in.
It's like a kind of cruel
joke. You know, it's,
I don't know.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I do the same shit to kids, though. I don't know. I feel I do that. I think it's fun, the fact that they don't know what, you know. You're almost doing
them
a favor.
Throw anything out there.
I convinced the kids I coached that I was Kristaps Porzingis the other day. I wore my jersey, and I was like, yeah, I'll turn on the TV at 7:30. You'll see me on the court. I'm flying down to Miami after this. And they were like, what? Like, you do that? And I was like, yeah, dude, no, just watch.
That's a little blasphemous, Brendan, but I think it's okay.
I hope. I can't wait to see them and then be like, I saw you on TV. It's like, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I went to my girlfriend's little sister. I took them to this sushi restaurant and Lower Manhattan. Let's do a little plug for them. It's called a Ninja Sushi or something. It's down in Tribeca. It's it's like got all these ninjas and shit, and they'll like put a knife to you, pretend knife and shit. And so I convinced her that I'm Japanese and that I'm actually a ninja, and she still thinks it. I mean, she brings it up like, duh, like you're Japanese, you know. I'm not Japanese, for the record, but she still thinks I'm Japanese. I mean, she's like 7 or 8, you know. I don't know if she knows what that means. I feel like there's going to be an awkward situation for her at some point, but.
Yeah, that's the problem with those kind of things. At one time, you're going to have to sit down and explain the truth.
Yeah, that's right. So have you spoken with your dad about this since it happened?
Truth. I haven't. I've just been kind of pretending like I think that Mickey Mantle actually hit the home run. for honestly, all these years.
I'm a little sad. I'm not going to lie to you. That whole story makes me a little bit sad that even happened.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm getting sad just reliving it at the moment.
Speaking of sad, guys, that Heat game wasn't the most fun night we've had in a while.
No, we were all talking on that Google Hangouts, very disappointed. But shit happens.
It was tough to watch. Brendan and I were talking about this earlier, but the only takeaway, or the positive, is it was an awful game to watch, but Porzingis played awful and somehow stumbled into 21 points or so and 14 rebounds or something like that. And, you know, at this point, the fact that he's able to play bad games and put up huge lines like that is, you know, that's still kind of encouraging to an encouraging thing to take from that.
Yeah. I mean, look, you got to realize, as New Yorkers and New York sports fans, we tend to like shiny things. So I try to caution myself when I get excited about stat lines and stuff like that. But, you know, look, he needs the confidence. And if he's putting up stat lines continuously, he's going to get that confidence. And that's really more important than anything right now for him. So, yeah, look, this isn't the year that we go undefeated. You know, this isn't the year that Porzingis scores every point in a game in the finals for the entire team. That's next season. So we'll still be podcasting and, you know, hopefully finally credit, you know, people give credit where it's due and let us know that we're a big part of the reason the Knicks are succeeding this year.
I totally agree. One thing I want to talk about for serious though, at this point, two things. What do we think this year is the ceiling for this team? Are we thinking they just make the playoffs, or do you think that we can improve enough where we could possibly win a series in the playoffs, and then after that, we want to just kind of transition into the postseason plan in free agency? What could we most use? So what do you guys think? Best case scenario this year, playoffs, what do you think?
I think the Knicks can win a playoff series this year. I don't think they can win. I think that the Knicks can continue in the path we're on, maybe get a new point guard or someone who can play wing and stick Carmelo at the four and start Porzingis or something like that. I know I don't want to get Lopez out of the starting lineup, but, you know, you got to do what you got to do. So I think that we should experiment with that at this point. But if we can pull something like that off and get into the fourth or fifth seed, yeah, I think we can make it to the second round.
Yeah, I'm thinking if...
I don't think we can beat Cleveland.
If we play the Bulls, I think we're good.
Yeah, the Bulls.
The Heat would be, that'd be a sweet series hyped up for.
Oh, yeah.
But they would get just as hyped because Pat Riley's there.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. Pat Riley and Phil as presidents,
Oh yeah, I'd love that. That'd be a real matchup. That'd be a rivalry for the ages. That another Heat Knicks rivalry.
Yeah,
that's really what I'm looking forward to.
So bad.
That's the big takeaway from a Sunday. It was Sunday, right? Yeah, that's a big takeaway for me because, look, you know, we didn't win. But was that last night the game?
Yeah,
it was last night. Right. Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm spacing out. But anyways, the point is that the rivalry's back. So, yeah, we lost. But what about next game? What about the game after
that? I mean, we
have
a game on Friday against them in New York. Like, don't think Knicks fans are going to forget that Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade said what they said.
No, fuck that. You can't talk shit about Porzingis like that.
Yeah.
That's like, honestly, at this point in time, it's worse than like a Yo Mama joke or something like that. You know, like someone's insulting Porzingis. You know, it's not so much like, you know, don't insult Porzingis, come after me. It's more like, you know, it's almost to the point where I feel like, you know, some of the sort of radicalized Islamic people, when someone draws a cartoon of Muhammad, you know, when someone insults Porzingis, it's kind of the same thing, right? I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going too far on that one, but
I would riot in the street if someone drew a cartoon of Porzingis.
Me too, of course.
Yeah, I would be pissed.
Yeah, so
you do not draw a cartoon, especially a negative
there's
one.
There's been a lot of cartoons of Porzingis lately. There's one on the front
what
of the
that?
Knicks, front of the Knicks subreddit. Some dude.
I'm sorry. What did you say, Brendan?
There's a Porzingis drawing on the Knicks subreddit. It's like five of them.
It's true. That is true. But
they're not
they
like offensive.
All be positive. They better all be positive and portraying him in an accurate light.
I gotta sit down, guys. I'm just kidding. I was already sitting down, but I just gotta sort of
sit down more.
Think about this. Yeah, I don't know what to do. I feel like the world's calling my bluff, and Anyway, the big takeaway is, you know, things are going well for the Knicks. Yeah, they lost, but they got another chance to redeem themselves. We're still above 500, you know. We still have – look, things are trending up for us. The Heat are very good this year.
Yeah.
You know, the Heat are – they're not a – look how good the team is. And so I don't feel that bad about this situation.
Well,
you know,
and we played
a lot of good teams.
We played a bad game. Like,
yeah.
It happens.
That's fine. That's going to happen.
Yeah.
That's going to happen. When, but
on a road
trip. The bigger issues are – why did we lose that game? Was that Carmelo's fault?
No, I mean, he played fine. Langston Galloway missed most of his shots. I mean, Melo missed five threes, which definitely doesn't help anything. Jaren Grant didn't play well. Derek Williams didn't play well. Like, nobody played well other than Porzingis and kind of Melo.
Mm-hmm.
And Porzingis didn't even
play
well.
And Porzingis didn't even play well, obviously. And Melo, he's just got to – he's got to shoot better, and he's got to – I just think he needs to try to play a little bit more in the offense, because I cringe and I groan every time he just kind of panic modes, like tries to go one-on-one sometimes looking for the foul and just takes the whole team out of their offense. I just wish he would kind of trust the offense a little more to get him some open shots, which he just doesn't seem to do.
Calderon's really got to do that. I think that's a lot on him too, but it's like it's...
Yeah, I mean, that just goes to the
Carmelo's
got to
give Calderon room to be a point guard, you know?
Yeah, totally.
I'm curious how long you guys think it should take for Melo's legs to come back. Because we're 15 games in, and he's looking a little bit... Like, he's looking better than he was at the beginning of the season, but he doesn't look like Melo.
Yeah, I think this is it. I don't think Carmelo's getting better than he is.
You really don't think that in the next...
I think he might get better.
In the next 65
it's not about that. It's
games.
His shot. I mean, look, if he gets better, I don't think it's from recovery, though. I think he's just feeling it better. Feeling it, you know. I think it's more psychological with Carmelo, really.
There's so many miles on him. One thing... Yeah, he's what is he, 31 years old? You know, I mean... Not he didn't have nearly
as old as fuck, man. Brian.
It's old as fuck, but it was also you know, Steve Nash won his first MVP at 31. He's an anomaly, I know, but it's not out of the realm of possibility that guys can, you know, improve. I mean, Michael Jordan was still winning MVPs up at
here's a question: when Steve Nash won the MVP, was it the same season he made up a nickname for himself, including a number in it?
Dude, I don't think Steve Nash ever did that. That would be a...
That might be a disqualifier.
With threes, I guess.
Do you think that we should occasionally throw Porzingis with a 7 instead of the Z in his name? What do you guys think of that?
I mean, you could do the 6 instead of a G. That works.
Ooh, I like that. I like it. That's gonna make Reddit. We should post that. Something about
just
that.
Just type it in a comment someday. Don't even like. Don't make one of those stupid posts about it. Like this is so another nickname thread. No, shut up, dude.
Yeah,
like,
no, you're right. But putting it in subtly as if that's what everyone calls him.
Yeah, that's
fun. You know, I had some friends in Detroit who were big fans of Curtis Granderson before he went to the Yankees and then the Mets, and they used to call him Cougra. Curtis Granderson, you know, and so he told me to try to spread that in New York, and yeah, you know, it's not easy to make a nickname stick. That never stuck. Nobody's ever going to call him that.
Yeah, it's weird the whole nickname stuff. Like, what was Patrick Ewing's nickname? Did he have
Patrick
a
Chewing? I love that Snickers commercial.
Your name is Porzingis. Like, why do you need a nickname? That's like
it's identifiable. As fuck.
Right.
People don't. Here's the thing. Like, okay. Could we all agree that Giannis Antetokounmpo needs a nickname, right?
I mean, he's got Greek freak.
I know what you mean.
You're right.
Yeah,
he needs it.
That name is not easy for people to say. I think Porzingis rolls off the tongue, you know, like a fine Chablis, frankly. I think we all agree on that.
I like that.
But
is that a good wine, Chablis?
I don't know. It's a wine. I know that. I don't know much about wine, but I know that it's wine. It sounds fancy, so
it works. Does sound fancy, yeah.
But in any event, the point is that I think for a lot of folks, and you know, it's kind of hard to say this, but I think that some people have a tough time with his name. So I think that's why people are looking for nicknames for him. And I don't know. I still don't think we have any. Do you guys have any views on that? I still don't think we have any good ones yet. I mean, the zinger, I fucking hate that. That's what Bill Simmons. Bill Simmons is calling him zinger as if I'm supposed to know what the fuck that means. I feel kind of insulted every time he says it.
Porzingis.
Porzingis.
This guy, Porzingis.
Wait, isn't he supposed to be talking? He's been talking shit about us still, hasn't he, Stephen A. Smith?
Yeah, we gotta help. I'll play the quote that we have recorded.
What did he? Yeah, play that. I'd like to hear that. All right, we're gonna play it right now.
I don't know if I can play it for you, but.
Well, anyway, for the
listeners. He has come around, though. I don't know if you've seen somebody on Reddit posted, like, the evolution.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. Stephen A. Smith.
And then it starts with the beginning when he's like, Phil Jackson is blasphemous, blah, blah, blah. And by the end of it, he's like, this guy is good. I'm on board with this guy.
I know.
So he's come full circle.
Yeah, he really has. You got to give him credit. He knows, you know, it's great. Really true. You know, you have to be a really humble person with a great deal of humility to come out with that, you know, that kind of a statement. It's like, it's almost
Stephen
like that time.
Smith is.
He's totally humble. But, you know, someone else that has a lot of humility is, if you recall, there was someone that was magnanimous in admitting that he may have been wrong when he said Porzingis' inside game wasn't quite developed yet, and then was actually had the humility to go on and then admit that he was wrong. Do you guys remember who that was?
Was that a... Fuck.
That was me. I did that. That was me.
Ooh, I was going to say Charles Barkley.
No, I well... Yeah, I know. I got a lot of. I'm humble as fuck.
Humble as fuck. That's a t-shirt. Humble as fuck.
Yeah, it's true. Well, you know, the problem is, I happen to have a lot to be humble about.
Nice.
That was a joke. That was a joke.
No, I agree. I agree.
What's happening, y'all? This is Stephen A. Smith right here, ESPN. We're going to talk hoops with my main man, Skip Bayless. Skip, I got to tell you something. I'm very impressed. I really am with Porzingis, okay? But you got to calm down, all right? You can't be talking like these three dudes over there on that podcast. Bang! You know what I'm talking about? I mean, these guys are talking like Porzingis is an NBA super god. I think one of them called him a god already. Are you kidding me? I mean, come on now. First of all, he's hitting foul shots. I like that. He's blocking shots and he's rebounding. He had like 15 rebounds the other day. The other thing he gotta do is though, he gotta get a new haircut, Skip. He's gotta get a new haircut.